This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 377.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts. Oh, come on, do I really have to read this? They're charming, handsome, and the most wonderful men in the world. Oh, somebody, please shoot me. Keith Helsley and Nathan Caldwell.
Hey everyone, this is your host Keith. Welcome back to another episode of Quest for Truth. Hey, I wanted to just do a follow-up and closure with our previous installment on the nature of the prophetic. I think I would have kept calling it prophetic nature. Just a shorthand, minimize the words on my part. But it's, to recap, it's a devotional found on the U Bible app, YouVersion Bible app, And, you know, it's just as a warning, I guess, to don't trust everything you read there. And if a devotion doesn't pass the sniff test, to use a phrase, there's probably a reason why. I think in our previous episode, Nathan Caldwell referred to it as the sound. It just doesn't sound right. Now, when it doesn't sound right, it probably isn't. And you should raise red flags and question it. Because although the teaching there seems to have biblical support for the doctrine, if you look at the biblical supports, it ain't talking about what the devotional author wants to put forward out there. You have to start with what the Bible says first, and then build a doctrine around that. You interpret the Bible, it only has one interpretation, and that's the interpretation the original author had for the original audience. Anything else is application. You might say the application is we should behave in a certain way. But I get really cringy whenever someone talks about prophecy. Because if they're speaking about the full-on definition of what it means to be a prophet, I'm pretty confident to say that is a spiritual gift that ended with Malachi and at latest John the Baptist, because Jesus did declare him, if you can accept the teaching, was Elijah, or words that effect. I'd have to dig out that gospel writing. But beyond that, the gift of prophecy has ended. Now, often, one definition of the word prophet is someone who proclaims Christ or proclaims God's word. Now, in that aspect, any modern-day preacher might fit that, and you might be able to use that as someone who proclaims the word. But don't grab that toehold of a definition and apply it to the full meaning of the word prophet, because you're abusing definitions, and it's not the same thing. It is what this author is. It's not the same thing. You know what? I've been talking a long time, and you know it's about time. Let's take a quick pause, and we'll listen to a quick word from some Christian podcast community podcasters, where you'll hear these and much more like them. I think we're up over 50 people out there now. It's hard to keep up. At ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. Here we go. Listen to these guys.
Join us as we take this time to stop and think about it.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? I think, McFly, think.
I'm thinking.
What were you thinking?
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Didn't say anything now. Just think about it.
You're listening to Stop and Think About It, a podcast for the Christian thinker.
In a day when sound biblical preaching has been replaced by man-centered entertainment and the church has become increasingly anti-intellectual, this podcast will encourage believers to think biblically and theologically. So please join me as we get ready to stop and think about it.
Here I am, Phil, the Bronx Expositor, along with my favorite co-host, and only one, Glenroy, the West Indian Wordsmith. How you doing, Glenroy?
Hello, everybody. We're back.
We are back. Greetings, friends and foes, saints and sinners. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Stop and Think About It podcast. Well, thank you for taking this time to stop and think about it.
If you would like to contact us, please email us at stopandthinkcrew@gmail.com. You could also visit our website at www.stopandthinkpodcast.com. This podcast is listener-supported by generous people like you. You can give a tax-deductible donation at our affiliate ministry at www.soulfishingministries.org and click on our donate link to give securely through PayPal. Thank you for listening to Stop and Think About It.
Can you prove that God is a Trinity? Can you prove that Jesus is God? Can you defend the Christian faith? And what is it that Christians truly believe? The new book by Andrew Rappaport, What Do We Believe, will answer those questions and more. Some people just don't understand what the church is today, but this book will go through the history and meaning of the church and what's more important than to understand man's sinfulness and God's salvation. Get your copy at whatdowebelievebook.com or at the strivingforeternity.org store.
Main topic.
All right. Here I am back again. And just to, again, wrap up with, because this is a 10-day devotional, I'm not going to suffer you through all that. But I do want to run through some points here. And this devotional talks about purity. And again, it refers to this Bible verse in James. That they build their outline around. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, and so forth from James 3:17. Kind of much that last part of the verse. But the important thing there is this: you can actually build an outline, or use it as an outline to build a full-on sermon, Bible study, Sunday school course. But you have to understand that it's not talking about prophecy. It's just talking about being the average, run-of-the-mill, daily, spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-guided Christian, which if you're a Christian, you already have that. You don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to work for the Holy Spirit or beg for the Holy Spirit or do exercises for the Holy Spirit. The fact that you are a Christian means you have already received the Holy Spirit. And you received the Holy Spirit because he's the one who came to you and made you recognize your shortcomings and faults and impurities. But of course, God does strongly desire purity, pure living, that is, not prophetic living. If God wanted you to be a prophet, he would have made you a prophet. Think of Jeremiah. He was called to be a prophet from his mother's womb. If you read about other prophets, they were, you know, the son of prophets, the son of priests. I think Hosea was a farmer. And he even says he's not a prophet in his book of prophecy, which is really more about teaching than it is about prophet in the supernatural type of a sense. And other prophets, Ezekiel was called, I think the name Ezekiel, if I don't remember for sure, but I could be mistaken, but it means a hard man of God. He was a hard man. He came out of a hard-headed man, and he was the hardest-headedest of all the men, basically. But God appointed him to the office. So certainly the office of a prophet is something that you're called to, but not everybody is called to it. But when he does call everyone to holiness, and he calls them through his Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are exactly that, gifts of the Spirit. If you read through these the spiritual gifts, it kind of defines a person's spirituality. But where do you get love and peace and joy and self-control? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you might be able to mock that, give a faux performance of one or more of those, but you can't, and you often, and you won't have that on a overflowing daily basis without the Holy Spirit. And so we should strive to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, because wisdom originates for God, and we really should seek wisdom. Our motivation should be for God. But all these attempts at play acting, as I mentioned, they just don't last. Whenever there's fruits of the Spirit that bubble out of your life, and as has happened to in my own life, you're just going through a dark, depressed phase, and there's no reason why you should be happy. Maybe there's death or loss or grief, and yet people still see love, joy, peace, patience coming out of you, and they're like, why are you this way? You have every reason to not be this way. And all you can tell them is, it's the Holy Spirit, it's not me. I don't know why this is happening. But it has to have pure motivations for a Spirit-led life. And of course, this points towards Second Peter 1:20 to 21. Let's see if I can read this really quick. Or maybe not.
I'll read it for you, Keith. 2 Peter 1:20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. From the NASB.
No, and also Matthew 5:8, which is one of the Beatitudes.
I have that one for you too. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Also from the NASB.
But it's an abuse to say that those verses support prophecy, because they don't. They do support purity, and they do support a good spiritual life.
And now, here is your host, Nathan Caldwell.
It's interesting that they take 1 Corinthians and they talk about charity in 1 Corinthians, but in the same chapter, verses 8 through 10, so they'll go through, you know, first few verses of 1 Corinthians, but they don't go to verses 8 through 10. Now, isn't this odd? Maybe it's because they didn't think it applied. Maybe it's because they didn't think it relevant to the topic. And if it wasn't relevant, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But this is very relevant. Let me read what it says. It says, charity never fails. Now, I'm reading from King James, but I'm getting rid of the F's and vowels in these, okay? Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When Paul discussed the gifts, he was discussing the gifts in a time where, as he said, they knew in part. They prophesied in part. They didn't have the full, completed Scripture as we do. now that which is perfect has come, the scripture, then that which is in part was done away. Here's another quote. They say, quote, anything that is truly prophetic will never contradict the word of God, unquote. Okay, now that's actually true. Even in the Old Testament, that was the situation. If it contradicted the word of God, it wasn't from God. God doesn't... He doesn't do that. You know, he doesn't do that. You know, he's not going to say, stealing is wrong, and then all of a sudden come back and go, you know, I've changed my mind on that. No. No. And somebody might be going, what about the Sabbath? What about the Sabbath? For one thing, you could say the Sabbath changed to Sunday, and there's historical reasons for that. And there are other issues that I could go into, but I'm not, because that's not what this is about. But the point is, a prophet of God will not contradict the word of God. All in all, they seem to be getting close to mysticism. As I read, this is the conclusion I'm coming to.
Thank you, and call again.
Another one besides 2 Peter 1, 28 to 21, besides Matthew 5, 8, 1 Corinthians 4, 13, 17. These are all references about purity. But when you look at those and step back and look at the verses surrounding them, because you never read a Bible verse, it's easily out of context. So you step back, read the verses in front of it, read the verses behind it. If it still seems out of context or not sounding right, jump back and read the whole chapter. Read the whole passage, because you'll find that the theme that's being talked about isn't about prophecy, as these kind of people like to lead you to believe. Now, I do want to continue into this next phase, because I know there's some questions that Nathan had brought up. In some content he shared with me, I haven't put it out there yet until today. You're in all of it. But about being loving, and again, referring to James 3:17, we should be peace loving. And it's all about renewing your mind and relying on God. Again, being spirit-led tests everything. We should test everything in the spirit. If something, again, doesn't smell right, it doesn't pass the sniff test, if it doesn't sound right, run it through prayerfully the Holy Spirit and scriptures. In fact, these references I've been mentioning, read them. They're excellent. Studies on the Christian life and how we should be living our lives. But don't read things into it like prophetic things. Peace is, this guy says, is not just the personal outcome of living by the Spirit. It's a form of calling. It's a body of Christ. We're called to be peace lovers, to carry the nature of their prophetic means we should seek to avoid conflict and division. Living in perfect peace and unity with each other. Now, I have some problems with that. Because what does Jesus himself say? He has come not to bring peace, but a sword. Now, we should strive to live at peace amongst other believers, because it is important to live in peace and harmony, to love one another in Christ. But the fact that we are in this world representing Christ means there are enemies to the body of Christ. And we shouldn't seek to be peace loving with them. We can expect, of course, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We should have peace that passes understanding in our faith when it comes to our relationship with God and other believers. What we surround ourselves with, what we fill ourselves with, is who we become. It's what people see overflowing from our lives. And I'll agree with that. I've mentioned it before, but we should seek to overflow with the Holy Spirit. You know, I guess there's, you know, psychology folks out there who say that, you know, look around to the five people you hang out with the most, and whatever they are is what you are or will become if you keep on hanging out with them. So seek other people, iron sharpens iron, and seek good mentors to strive to be like them. Strive to find five good role models. If you're constantly filling your brain with garbage books, movies with language or lewdity or nudity, it's going to come out in your daily life. And well, you might be able to hide, you have a hidden a porn addiction, but it's in there, and it's going to infiltrate your mind, and you're going to be thinking of people in terms of that, and you need to get rid of that. Garbage in, garbage out. You need to, ask that Holy Spirit to fill you and wash all those unseemly behaviors out.
And now, here is your host, Nathan Caldwell.
First quote. Actually, it was the only quote I wrote down. I see, in fact, the kind of spiritual peace that comes from being relationship-focused and spirit-led allows us to test or check anything we believe is prophetic, unquote. Okay, so they're saying that you can get, if you have spiritual peace, then that must mean what you think is prophetic is true. That's dangerous. Because for one thing, how do you know spiritual peace from, and I'm being a little hyperbolic and I apologize, but I can't think of any good examples. How can I tell spiritual peace from having a really good effect from a really good pizza that you just ate? Oh, that was good. Oh, this feels so good. It must be true. Some have used this kind of thinking to justify a sin they have a, quote, peace, unquote, about. You know, I'm going to move out. I'm going to divorce my wife, move out, and move in with this boyfriend. But don't worry, Pastor. I feel a peace about it. I prayed about it, and I feel a peace about this. I don't care. Now I realize they said that it shouldn't counteract the Word of God, and at least they got that right. But I'm telling you, because really what this sounds like, now get this, It almost sounds like, and again, they at least say stuff doesn't counteract the Word of God. But I submit to you that even doing this counteracts the word of God, because the word of God says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. So the fact that we're even discussing prophecy in modern times is a bit of an outside scripture situation. But this comes really close to, get this, alright, you hear the world say, if it feels good, do it. And that's not good. We know that's not good. This comes close to almost being worse. No, it is worse. Because now it's, if it feels good, well, God must have told it to you. That's dangerous.
All right. So long.
And to give you some scripture references here, Romans 15:13.
13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And Romans 12:2.
2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
We'll help fill in some gaps here with the whole peace-loving purity thing. I think that'll help. But you have to remember, this is how Christian life ought to be. Every day, run-of-the-mill Christian life for every person out there. It by no means gives you the right to claim the title or gift of prophet, because, again, that gift has ceased. The only form that I will agree that it remains is in proclaiming the word. And, again, in that aspect, any preacher, teacher, common run-of-the-mill Christian out there who in some way proclaims the word of Christ, the word of God, the word of the gospel, well, that gives you a claim to the title or office of prophecy, but it's not a office that God calls people to anymore. Not that he couldn't, not that he wouldn't. In fact, in Revelation, it talks about the two prophets who will be sent and go to, basically, you're at the Wailing Wall, or in Jerusalem somewhere. I think the Wailing Wall idea is something I must have grabbed out of my head from those books, whatever they're called, I don't remember, about end times.
The Left Behind series.
But anyway, there are two prophets. The Revelation does record that they're there. They prophesy against the world. They, you know, shoot, you know, flame out of their mouths, and they can have the authority to strike people down and strike famines and whatnot throughout the world. And eventually they're killed and people celebrate. Those are prophets, even though the gift has ceased. When God wants a prophet, he will call prophet. It's not an office for everybody, and it's an office that the common person probably doesn't want to carry that burden, because it comes with a lot of heavy responsibility there that most of us just can't.
Welcome to Thoroughly Equipped, a podcast for women where we compare the popular women's ministry teachings, books, conferences, Bible studies, etc. to Scripture. Our focus is 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I am your host, Melba Toast. May this episode bless you and bring glory to God. Welcome, ladies. I pray you are in His Word. Ladies, if you are interested in the transcript for this episode, you can go to ttew.org. You can find other great resources, articles, blogs, and videos that may bless you in your Christian walk, as well as links to follow me on social media. If you wish to contact me, you can email me at thoroughlyequipped316@gmail.com. Again, the website address is ttew.org. Thoroughly Equipped is part of Striving for Eternity's Christian podcast community. Striving for Eternity is a Christ-centered ministry focused on equipping people for eternity by assisting Christians to have an eternal perspective on life. They strive to bring evangelism, discipleship, apologetics, and Christian living together for the purpose of eternal preparation by exalting God, edifying and equipping the saints, and evangelizing the lost. They provide speakers, online articles, online courses, books, podcasts, and other theological resources, all centered on God's Word. To find out more, go to strivingforeternity.org. And to listen to other podcasts, go to podcast.strivingforeternity.org. I pray that their resources bless you as they have blessed me, as we live our lives day by day, praising and glorifying God.
Did you know that Striving for Eternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible interpretation made easy, creation science, evangelism, presuppositional apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
Maintain. But anyway, I just wanted to wrap this up and just kind of air some disputes that I had with this. And I usually see devotions like this and I give it an eye roll and skip, you know, pass on to the next one. But this one, I just thought, I was just curious. I just wanted to see how the other side lives, as it were. And it's just horrible. I just can't see how badly to avoid things like that. And you see this with the new apostolic people, the Word of Faith people, the name and the claim it, the people, I guess like what Bethel Church is and what's the one, Hillsong and some of them. Big name churches, that's not how God works. I mean, there's a few things we can name and claim. If we're seeking salvation, the Holy Spirit will draw you to Him and convict you of your sins, which is not a pleasant thing. But you have to realize how much you don't deserve it before you can fully understand and appreciate salvation and what Jesus Christ did to pay for all that ugliness in our lives. Another thing God will gladly answer you is if you seek wisdom. He answered Solomon that in the book of James. We should be seeking wisdom. And if we ask for wisdom, discernment, those are some things that we know that God will give. And once you especially have wisdom, then you can have the discernment it takes to look at devotional garbage like this and just recognize it for what it is, a lie wrapped in the truth, which is the worst kind of all, because it claims to take the truth of the scripture and it inserts the lie of a doctrine into it. So there we go. I just wanted to kind of make this short as possible. But I promise no more along this. I do have another topic lined up, possibly two. And we do have another Truth Exposed coming up pretty soon. Still waiting for word on some casting things for some more Luke dramas. Once we get the two parts filled, it should be pretty simple to come back and return the lines into put it there, a podcast. And hey, by the way, if anyone out there is interested in reading some lines for us, especially, you know, word to the fellow Christian podcast community folks, if you were interested ever in reading some lines for us on our Luke audio drama, drop me a line. I would be glad to fit you in, maybe even write a part just for you. Hey, just let me know. But we're plugging away at that. We're going to get in those next episodes out eventually. And you work with volunteers. It takes time. People can squeeze you into their schedules. But hey, that's all I really got. And it's time to close off. And everybody, thanks for listening. Stay tuned. We always have things to say here, Quest for Truth, as we seek the truth about God, faith, the Bible, worldviews, and just seeking the truth about what's true in the Bible and what's true in the world around us. So again, thanks for listening. This is your host, Keith, saying thanks for listening, signing off. And hey, look, here comes Anthony Russo. And he's going to tell you how to find us on social medias and ways to contact us. Hey, pay attention to that voicemail. Give us a message. Love to hear from you. Take it away.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell on you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.